You're listening to Body by Block with Dr. Stephen Block. It's your opportunity to ask questions on the latest technology of face and body enhancement. Body by Block.
Welcome to the Body by Block show. My name is David Hochberg, your host. And on the line with us is Dr. Stephen Block, plastic surgeon, board-certified plastic surgeon, surgeon to the stars. A lot of radio and TV appearances for you, Dr. Block. I'd like to welcome you to your show. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great.
All right. And we're going to be talking about men's facelifts today. I'm super excited about that. We've been talking to women for the past 9-10 weeks, and it'd be great to talk to a woman, talk to a man about the procedure that he's had done on his face and on his body. So I'm super excited about that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Dr. Block? Set the show. Phone lines are open, 312-521-8600. You can go to the doctor's website, which is bodybyblock.com, and get all the information you want about the different procedures and services that Dr. Block provides. But Dr. Block, your dime, your dance floor. Set yourself up here, my friend.
Okay, what we're going to talk about is the facelift, and in terms of liposuction as well, or body contouring. There are certain subtle changes in a male as compared to a female. So when you're doing a male facelift, you have to be concerned about the direction of pull. The aging process is not exactly the same. And our eye, what we want to be interpreted as, is as a result of the facelift, you still want to maintain a masculine look. Also, obviously, with a male, you have to deal with the issue of their beard and where you can place that hair-bearing skin. And obviously, I don't have the luxury. Most guys' hair is a lot shorter than a lot of women. So obviously, there are scars. Their body heals by forming a scar. So the placement of a scar on a male is a little bit more critical. So there are all kinds of subtle issues in terms of placement of the brow, where you want the volume in the face on a male as compared to the female. That has to all be taken into account in terms of the aging process.
What percentage of your business is male faceless compared to female faceless today, as opposed to, let's say, 10, 15 years ago?
You know, the media always asks me that, and it's kind of funny, depending upon what the bias is of the reporter and whether I want to be part of the story or not. I may or may not go along with their premise, but the truth is, 20% of plastic surgery across the country is on men.
Really?
The total volume continues to go up. So the numbers are going up, but I still think the ratio has remained pretty much the same, and it's about 20%.
Now, you said the male facial structure is a lot different than the women facial structure. What type of things do you take into account? I know you said the beard, but is the gravity pull on a man's face that much greater than a female's face, than a woman's face, because of the beard?
Or? No, but when we look at the facial structure, you really want a male chin to be stronger than a female chin. The position of a male brow ideally is at the rim. A female brow is above the rim. The angle, if you're doing a male nose, the angle of a male nose between his the tip of his nose and his upper lip, on a male it should be 90 degrees. On a female it could be the slightest tip. It should be at 110 degrees. So there are subtle changes. And what you don't want, perfect example would be, what's his name, Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, Bruce Jenner. What's going on there?
I think he looks a little bizarre. I think most people would think he looks a little bizarre. And I think the way his procedures were done or whatever, you know, and I think he's had multiple stuff, but I think he's looking effeminate. And the last thing that you really want on a male, in my mind, is to look effeminate. So I think his volume, his position of his brow, the amount of volume in his cheeks, the direction of the pull, I just think it's, for my taste, it's wrong.
Well, unless you want to, you know, turn yourself into a female, you know, unless you're going for gender, whatever the proper term is. You
right.
know.
And right. And we deal with that, too. So we certainly have male patients who come in, and that is their lifestyle, and that is where they're going. So, fine. And you can deal with that. And, you know, that's why it's important to know who your patient is, what their fantasy is, and how close to their fantasy do you think that you're able to achieve?
Yeah, because it might look a little bizarre, quote-unquote bizarre, in the short term, because you don't realize that they're going for a different gender, right? You know, a man turning into a woman or a woman turning into a man. So at first glance, it might look a little unusual, which I think Bruce Jenner, I agree with you, looks a little freakish. And but if his ultimate goal is to be Bruce Linda or whatever his name is going to be, if he wants to turn into a woman,
That's right. He might be totally happy with it, and maybe that is what he wanted to achieve. But I also do think that sometimes images like that often become frightening to the public or to some guy who's thinking of having a facelift, because that is not what he wants to look like.
Right. And I'll tell you what, you know, more and more people know that I'm doing the show with you, and more men are asking me about the different procedures, like, what's going on? How can we doing this? And I said, well, I got tired of having gigantic sunspots that I learned that I created under 13 years of age and have just been growing like I say, manhole covers on my face and on my hands and on my arms. And I go, I just got tired of looking at it. And I go, to be honest with you, I feel a heck of a lot younger and a heck of a lot better when I look down at my hands. I don't see those big brown splotches down there, and it makes me feel better. You know, and I'm just like, why wouldn't you want to feel better?
Use your sunblock.
I put it on this morning on the way into work. I've got tubes in the car, and I'm ready to go. I mean, I've worn sunblock pretty much every single day, and I know you're going to yell at me, other than a couple of torrential rainstorms where it was completely black outside, and I know the sun comes through the clouds, but I forgot. I'm like, oh, Block's going to yell at me, so I'm not going to tell him. But I just told you because I'm an honest man. But
right.
I've worn the sunblock, and when I was out of the sunblock, you'll be proud of me, I went to Walgreens, and I bought 50 roll-on stuff that I use on my kids because the older stuff irritates my skin, and my kid stuff doesn't. And I actually have been putting that on my face and on my hands and on my arms because I learned from you and your staff, by the way, great staff, that sitting in a car while I'm driving behind windshield and through the sunroof, you could get damage to your skin by just driving. And
you do, and it's kind of funny because in our country, most of the damage is mostly on the left side of the face. But in England, where they drive on the opposite side,
right,
most of the damage is on the right side. It's really kind of fascinating. You know, but the point also of skincare, I don't think the point of life is to have perfect skin and a boring life. So I think you got to balance it. You know, I was just away. I was in Greece. The weather was fabulous. And anyone who hasn't gone there, I think they really should go. It's mm-hmm. a great country. And the weather was incredible. And obviously, you know, I was out on a boat and I was out on the beach and I was enjoying myself. And I did get a tan, but you use some reasonable precaution. And so my feeling is if you could reverse the effects of aging and still enjoy your life and do the things you want to do, that's kind of a perfect balance. I don't think it's a lot of fun to spend your entire life in a shopping mall.
No.
So you got to get out there, enjoy it, but use some reasonable precautions.
Well, and it all depends what type of stores are in the shopping mall that is. So, you know, you could have a couple of days worth of fun. Now, did you wear a hat? Because you yelled at me. You yelled at me. Sunscreen and a hat. And your two technicians yelled at me, too. Always wear a hat, for God's sakes. Look at what we're taking off of your skin. And, you know, you don't want to go back. And they yelled at me when I came. Not yelled at me. They forcibly reminded me, no sun. We need white skin. No sun. Sunscreen. Stay out of the sun. So I was walking around in a bodysuit for a week and a half before I came in for my treatment, and I'll tell you, it's great. I came back while you were gone, and they zapped me again, and they were amazed by the way that I responded to the photo facials, and I had this big black.
Great treatment.
Oh, forget about it. And you know what? I knew what I was coming into, and I didn't cry this time. I knew you would be, I knew you would be proud. And I told him, I said, please tell Dr. Block that I didn't cry this time. So it, it wasn't that bad. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. We have your patient, Joe, on the line. We're going to have Bri bring him up. How are you, Joe?
I'm fine, thank you.
I want to thank you for joining our show, Dr. Block Show. You're listening to the Body by Block Show on WGN.FM. I'm the host, David Hochberg, in case you want to know my name there, Joe. And we have Dr. Stephen Block from Body by Block. He has a operating facility at 1160 Park West, Park Avenue West, 1160 Park Avenue West in Highland Park, as well as a med spa where I went to get all of my treatments. And he also has just a med spa in the Glen, which is at 1986 Tower Road in Glenview. That's the old Glenview Naval Air Station that they turned into an amazing multi-purpose housing, entertainment, restaurant, and med spa facility for people out there that don't know what the Glen is. But Joe, you had some work done, and I want to applaud you for being the first man to come on the show. So thank you. I've been a little overwhelmed by females the past couple of weeks, but you had a facelift, and the topic of today's show is men's facelift and liposuction, and we're going to be concentrating on those items. But what was the reason that you had your facelift? What was that oh my God moment that you looked in the mirror, or somebody said something to you, or you saw a picture? One lady on a previous show said, I was on an airplane and my husband snapped the picture. I looked at it and it cost him money because I went to get a nose job and my chin done immediately after that. And I made the comment, he'll never take another picture of you again because it probably cost him 20 grand for that. But what do you do? What was that major, oh my God moment that made you say, I want to do something to make myself look a little younger?
Similar to that story, but I've been working with Dr. Block for 20 years now. He did my first procedure in 95, and we've had, I think, 7 or 8 procedures. The records say 6 procedures. But it was about, I guess, basically vanity and wanting to look as healthy as I feel. Go ahead, David.
Were you in a competitive marketplace where, because a lot of the ladies that had it done said that they were in a very, very competitive marketplace with younger women, better looking than them, you know, fresher, if you will, and they felt that they couldn't compete with them and that this procedure or the procedures that they had done, some had nose jobs, some had boob jobs, some had face jobs, eye lifts, ear jobs, you know, we've gone the gambit. So did it put a little more confidence that you, was that part of it too, the competitive nature of your business?
I think that's true for all of us. I think that's a social phenomenon. I think that's true. I mean, I'm 74 years old. I went to Dr. Block when I was 54, and I had that 54-ish look about me. I've worked out since 1968 extensively, so I take reasonable care of myself. But yes, it was like that. But for me, it was more pure vanity because I'm a businessman, and I own my own businesses. So, that's true, David. It is an issue of acceptance for somebody who's got wrinkles, and I had extra skin taken off my eyelids and my face and my chin and my neck and so forth. And I felt better about myself. And obviously, when somebody hears how old I am and they're shocked by it, there's good results from it, or I wouldn't get that kind of a reaction to what I've done. And the biggest single thing of all for me, David, is the fact that I feel good about it. All right. And after 20 years and 7 procedures, I'm going to be going to see Dr. Block next Tuesday at 2:30 for another kick in the tires and deciding if there's something new we can do.
That the doc, it's the theme of the callers. It's the theme. Who are your patients? They feel good about themselves. Okay. And that's what, when I was talking to my friends about this show that, you know, that we've been doing, and I told them that I had a couple of Joe, I had a couple of procedures done. I had, I don't know if you were listening when we were talking about it, but I had some sun damage taken off, and I had the light procedure and the Fraxel done, and the black splotches on my hands and brown splotches have been falling off and on my face. I feel the same way, but Dr. Block, walk us through what you did with Joe back in 1995. I'm sure you see thousands of patients, but Joe's a frequent flyer.
I think the important thing that the public has to realize is Joe is a guy, he takes care of himself. You know, it's not like all of a sudden he woke up one day and he was overweight and this, that, and whatever, and goes off to the plastic surgeon and wants him to make him into a god or a Adonis. Joe does everything right. He cares. He eats right. He exercises. And he always looks good. And, you know, I think most of us, I think it's a natural desire. We'd like to look good naked. Why not? We want to feel confident about our body if we're on the beach or something. So, you know, Joe came in. He was noticing some changes in his 50s. You know, and that's when it really hits most of us. You know, we can hide the aging process usually until our 50s. And then all of a sudden, you know, we kind of wake up one day, we take a look in the mirror and go, uh-oh, what's happening? And we think, you know, we're having a bad day, and it's like, okay, I'll go back to sleep, and I'll wake up, and it'll be better. But it's not better. It's there. And then all of a sudden, every time you look in the mirror, that's all that you're seeing. And it usually, for most guys, it's either their eyelids, where they really have, it's really baggy and they look tired. And so the public thinks either that they haven't had enough sleep, or quite frankly, that they've been drinking a lot. Or in terms of the neck, people, I don't care who they are, they hate their neck. It's one of the first signs of aging is the laxity of neck, of that neck skin. And, you know, so in Joe's case, it wasn't bad, and part of what we were doing was an early lift, which is somewhat preventive. It slows down the aging process. Prevention is better than a correction, and we just kind of cleaned it up. We cleaned up his neck. We cleaned up the jawline. We cleaned up his eyes, upper and lower. Just tweak it, but always maintained a natural look. So I'm not interested in taking a 50-year-old guy and trying to make him look 25 or 30. Personally, I think it's absurd. What I want is a guy to look at whatever age they happen to be, just the best that they could be. Put him in what I call an ageless category.
So did you operate on Joe's neck first, or recreate Joe? I mean, what did you do to tighten up Joe's Joe's face with Joe's facelift? Walk us through what you did. And I know every patient's different, but in Joe's case, he had a little neck going. He had a little eyes going.
So I'm starting. Okay, so in terms of the cheek area, you're starting, you're placing a cut right by the ear, then around the earlobe, behind the ear, and back underneath the hairline to hide it. The skin is lifted up. You might do a little liposuction of the neck. You might make a little cut right under the chin. You might do a little tightening of the muscles right in the midline. You might do a little liposuction along the jawline. The structures in the midface are then tightened with some stitches, so it's lifted, and the direction of the pull is fairly critical. You don't want it, you don't want it to look afterwards like you went through a wind tunnel. So you're tightening up the underlying structure, then you're redraping the skin, you trim it, and it's sewn up. On the eyelids, a little incision is made on the upper eyelids right in the crease. Some of the excess skin is removed. Behind that is a little bit of excess fat. You remove the fat, and you sew that up. It heals great. The lower eyelids could be done one of two ways. You could either incise right beneath the lash line, or now I usually do it from inside the lid, rearrange a little bit of the fat, you know, from those bags, or I take it out. And back in 95, I don't think I was lasering then. I don't think that was really out. So we actually removed a little bit of skin along the lash line. Now, if I was doing it, I would laser the lower eyelid skin to tighten it up.
So, Joe, what did your colleagues, your friends, family, neighbors think? Or did you tell them that you were going to go have this procedure at first? Or did you just keep it a secret?
Yeah, let me add some things to what Dr. Block just said, which I think are very important. We did a facelift in 95. We did another one, and I guess it'd be a reinforcement of it in 2006, and one more in 2011. And what I went to visit four plastic surgeons before I made my decision on going to Dr. Block in 95. And they were all high-end guys down in the city, Oak Brook, et cetera. But what Dr. Block, what impressed me and what made my decision to go with Dr. Block was the fact that he said to me, don't look for giant miracles here. Look for practicality. And these are my words, not Dr. Block's words. We're going to do this gradually because we don't want to do something that's too exaggerated. So in 95, we did one. And then the next facelift, although there were two other procedures between 95 and 06, we did a second facelift. And he said the same thing to me. We're going to do, and he'd take his hands and he'd artfully lift my skin and let me look in the mirror to see what he was going to do. He'd do that. He did it again in 11, all right? And what I ended up with, something that I healed well, and I think a lot of it was because of the way Dr. Block's procedure went, and they were just nice differences, okay? So now at 74 years old, after three procedures, it's like it's really lasting well, and it's like I need less than I needed when I went in 2006, which was 11 years after the first one. And I'm just going because I'm as vain as hell, and I want to see if Dr. Block can do something more for me. Right. Does that answer your question, David?
No, I think it's great. How about your friends and families and coworkers after you had the procedures? What was the reaction from them?
I get a lot of people saying I dye my hair, and I don't. And I get a lot of people saying, you had a facelift, didn't you? And I don't tell them I had three, okay? But they say it with some doubt, David, which is great.
Right. And I think it goes back to what Dr. Black said, that if you work out and you eat right and you maintain your lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle, healthier people look better than schlubs that I was, 60 days ago before I lost the weight, getting back into shape and starting to work out again. But
what's your weight down to now?
I'm down to 247. Start at 273.6, and still got another 25 to go, but you got to lose the first one before you can lose the 10th pound. So we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah.
And Joe, I want to talk to you about this liposuction after the break. I'm not going to forget about that because I used to work out religiously, Joe. Okay,
yeah.
And I used to lift weights 2 hours a night before I was married, and bench pressing 365 pounds and squatting 700. Yeah. I was an idiot, right? I had nothing better to do, so two hours in the gym, curling 130 pounds. I was great, right? Now I'm blowing discs out left and right because of all the damage I did when I was younger, and I ballooned up to 2. I used to be 215 with a 34-inch waist with a 50-inch chest. Now I'm a 52-inch chest of all fat and a 40-inch waist, so I'm trying to get back down. But I think what you said was important is that healthy lifestyle. It's not having the 5 cups of coffee a day. It's not smoking the 2 packs a day. I'm drinking over 100 ounces of water a day, and I feel a lot better. My skin's a lot better, and I'm going to be emulating the way you've lived your life for the past 74 years, a healthy lifestyle. But how much of that do you think had in your recovery and how you've maintained that healthy, youthful look over the past 20 years since you had your first procedure?
I think my lifestyle and my concern over being healthy had a major part in my recovery time and the way I recovered. I think it had a major contribution to that.
It did. He just bounces right back.
So the healthy lifestyle, then it all comes into play. Now, how come people think you dye your hair and don't say anything about your face? I mean, what's with your hair?
I haven't figured that part of people out yet, and I'm still working on that, right, along with a lot of other things to figure out about people. But no, if somebody's put money down, they put a lot of money down that I did have a facelift. But the way I look at this, David, is this way. I go to the airport and I see people standing on 5 and 7 inch platform shoes, all right, so they can look taller. I don't mind my 1 inch heels. It's important to me that I look good, and so it doesn't bother me that people know or don't know that I have a facelift. So you have to have the right attitude for that. I think that's the point I'm getting at.
And how did it impact your business when you went out there after you had the procedures done, on the confidence level, and that, you know, you were able to go back out there and compete with, you know, with your younger competition? How'd that make you feel?
Yeah, well, I'm not preoccupied with the feeling of looking older than some salesman that's 30 years old and 8 years out of Wharton, all right? So I'm not preoccupied with that, so I can more think about selling my wares than being concerned with my appearance.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we've gotten the response from the women, Dr. Block. You've been listening to the Dr. Block Show, the Body by Block Show, with board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. Stephen Block. You can visit Dr. Block's website, Body by Block. That's BLOCH.com. Dr. Block has two locations. One is located in Highland Park at 1160 Park Avenue West. He has his operating facilities where Joe had his procedures done, and also has a med spa there. And he also has only a med spa in the Glen at 1986 Tower Road in Glenview, which is the old Glenview Naval Air Station. Naval Air Base, in case anybody wants to go over there. It's a beautiful facility. You could get your procedures done, grab a coffee, grab some lunch, and go to Dick's Sporting Goods and get a new pair of running shoes at the same time. So, Joe, and I want to direct this towards at Dr. Block. Dr. Block, everything that Joe said directly correlates with what the women said about their procedures, and you can't put a price tag on that. I don't know. When you're doing your consultations, does that get brought up, how they're going to feel younger? Or how do you incorporate that into a consultation?
You know, a lot of women, if they come in, they kind of express to me, you know, especially if they're attractive, that they're noticing that when they walk into a room that people really aren't noticing them. All of us in our society, male and female, it's interesting. At a certain point in life, depending upon the way we look, we start to become invisible. The world ignores us. We're invisible. And a lot of people come in, there's subtle changes that they just realize they're not commanding the same degree of attention as they used to. And that's often one of the leading things that kind of prompts a person to have something done. All of a sudden, they look at themselves in the mirror, and they're just not looking the way they feel. They usually feel much better about themselves than what they're seeing in the mirror, and when they want to look as good as they feel, which to me is a normal desire. So we do kind of address it. You know, most patients who come to me for a facelift, they're not depressed. They're happy. They like who they are. They like their life. They want to look better. They don't want to look like they went into the witness protection program. They're confident people, and they want and they realize that their life is somewhat, you want to say, charmed. Fine, they're living a charmed life, and they want to keep it and maintain it and enjoy it.
Yeah, and Joe wanted to come out looking like Joe. Not like that one actor, Rourke,
That is bizarre.
Right? Yeah. You know, you look at him with Kim Basinger. I'd rather look at Kim Basinger, to be honest with you, at 9.5 weeks or whatever that movie was. And then you look at him now in The Wrestler, and you're like, what the hell happened to you, buddy? Okay, you know, you're a lot bigger. You know, you're more, what the heck's the guy's name? O'Rourke? I can't think of the guy's
name. O'Rourke or something like that.
I'll find it during the break. Yeah. And you know, you look at him in his earlier movie roles, and he doesn't look the same. And I'm sure if you look at Joe in his 50s when he first had the procedures done, and look at Joe today, 20 years later, you know, you could tell probably that there was work done, but it's still Joe, right? It's not Joe walks in and then he turns into the Joker. You know, which basically Mickey O'Rourke, that's the guy's name is. And, you know, it's still Joe. And that, I think, is what is important with the work that you do. And everybody that we talk to It's the same person that comes out of the operating room as the same person that goes in. I'll tell you what, boys, we got to take a quick break. We're gonna be back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to the Body by Block Show on WGN.FM with plastic surgeon Dr. Stephen Block. 312-521-8600. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Body by Block with Dr. Stephen Block. It's your opportunity to ask questions on the latest technology of face and body enhancement. Body by Block.
Welcome back to the Body by Block Show. My name is David Hochberg, your host. I'm on the line with one of Dr. Block's patients, Joe, and of course, Dr. Stephen Block of Body by Block. You can visit Body by Block, the website, B-L-O-C-H, that's Dr. Block's website. Get all the information you need to know about the different procedures that Dr. Block offers, including liposuction, men and women facelift, and I'm going to try this, doctor, lower lid blepharoplasty. How'd I do?
What? Pretty good. It's a blepharoplasty.
Blepharoplasty. Yeah. I'm going to get it. It was a lot better than the first time. So, Joe, I want to talk about the blepharoplasty, your recovery time, and I'm starting to get bags under my eyes. I'm starting to get the black, and I want the Dr. Block to answer this question. Can you do anything about the black marks? Like, kind of look like a raccoon. Some men and women look like raccoons. Can plastic surgery solve that? But first, I want to go to Joe. Joe, what was that recovery? Was that done with the initial facelift, or did you go back to have this as one of your follow up procedures?
That was done with the initial facelift, and again in 11. We didn't do it in 05. We did it in 95 and 11. And again, what Dr. Block did was not giant transitional changes, but subtle changes. And so, and what Dr. Block said earlier about procedure, he didn't use laser in 95, but he used laser in 11. And that's my recollection, Dr. Block.
It is. It's true.
Yeah, the recovery period for me was great. I had ice packs and I couldn't exercise for a couple of weeks, and Dr. Block stressed that. I just laid low and did a lot of phone calling for a couple of weeks. But it was simple. I mean, it wasn't difficult at all for me.
Does it get the black spots away from the eyes, doctor, or is that just be tired,
you know,
or is that hereditary?
It's a problem because it could be a couple of things. One, you sometimes get that, what we call the tear trough, and you get a little bit of a hollow in there. And so if you get a little bit of a depression, when the light hits it, it creates a shadow and it makes it look darker. So that's part of it. So you want to try to create that as smooth as possible so that when the light hits it, it looks smooth. So what you're taking out of the eye is important, but what's even more important is what you leave behind, because you don't want to get a hollow-looking eye. That's extremely aging and very hard to correct. So also, you could sometimes have skin discoloration from kind of like little broken blood vessels underneath the skin. It's very delicate. It stains the skin. So sometimes we do laser to try to lighten it up. But to be perfectly honest with you, there is some skin texture and some color. I can't get it exactly the way either I want it or the patient wants it. It's a troublesome problem.
So what happens with Joe's eyes are in the human body, right, in the human face? And is it different for men and women, this question?
You mean as part of aging? Sure.
Okay. I'm just talking about the bags. You said that you had to go back. What happens? Does it grow back? Is there fat? I mean, what's going on under the bags, under the eyes?
Yeah, so you have basically the lower eyelid has three fat pads. And as we age, the muscle that's over it, it becomes a little lax, and those fat pads begin to bulge out. So that's one. But the other part is that as we age, we lose a little bit of volume along the cheek. So you start to get that hollow of the tear trough, and if you have a hollow there and a slight bulge above it, it makes the bulge look even worse. So the trick is to remove a little bit of the fat, and sometimes to take a little bit of the fat and try to move it into the tear trough, or put a little bit of an injection or even a fat transfer into the hollow. So where it's hollow, you want to raise it. Where it's raised, you want to lower it. and then you want to improve the skin texture of the overlying skin.
So, Joe, when you went back, was it like, Doc, you got to take care of these bags? You know, was it that, or did you, was it bothering you for a long period of time as you saw your eyes were starting to break down a little bit?
No, something Dr. Block told me in 95, and it stuck with me, and I remember 19 years later, is you want to do things as subtly as possible and get the maximum amount of change you can get out of that subtle procedure. And so what he did in 95, and I'm not a doctor, but if you screw up around the eyes, you screw up good, because one tiny subtle change, it's huge in the way your eyes are. And I noticed the difference in my eyes, but not a big difference. I had three upper lower eye procedures done across the six or seven procedures I had done. And what Dr. Block said in 95 was true in 05, 06, and again in 11, was it had to be subtle, because you wouldn't be happy with, and these are my words, not the Block's, Dr. Block, but you wouldn't be happy with a drastic change.
And how true is that,
Doctor? There were subtle changes. There were subtle changes. That's my point.
I think it's very true. I mean, I think a lot of the things that we often, you know, that the public is often in shock at is some actor or, you know, that whose work, quite frankly, has been overdone. It looks overly pulled, overly stretched, with no expression. The eye picks up a difference of a millimeter on the face, and there is a difference, a subtle difference, between what looks bizarre and what looks natural. And again, I think the perfect cosmetic operation looks perfectly natural. No one knows you had anything done, or they really have to think twice. It should not be that when you walk into a room, people almost gasp and think, oh, my God, what did you do to yourself?
Now I
shouldn't happen.
Well, here, I want to talk about, you know, the liposuction, Dr. Block, because this is really true and dear to my heart, because as I continue to lose this weight and get down to the 225, which is my target weight, which I haven't seen since the day I got married the second time. What did you do, Joe? What talk to me about the liposuction. It says here in your chest, your abdomen, and your hips. What was going on there, buddy?
But I guess the natural aging process, right? No matter how much you work out, the fat wants to move around. But what Dr. Block told me about that, and it stuck with me again for 19 years, is the trick wasn't to take weight out. The trick was to take fat cells out. Because if you take fat, and I had a waist problem that's inherent in my father's side of the family, where I get those tires, the mid tires on the back, on the lower back.
Yep, I feel your pain, baby.
Dr. Block didn't necessarily take the pounds out, and I think it was a couple of pounds, including blood and fluids and everything that he took out. But what he really took out were the fat cells, so that the fat couldn't grow back there anymore, because the cells weren't there to absorb fat. Am I getting that right, Dr. Block?
Pretty much. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
And the sculpting. So you work out. You know you're tight. You got tight abdomens, tight legs. I know exactly what you're talking about. There's just no matter how many crunches, no matter how many leg lifts, no matter how many sit-ups you do, you see. I had the problem that my rolls had rolls. Okay. So my tire had a spare on top of the tire that I had. So that was kind of it was kind of like a tort. I had different levels of bumps on the back where the fat was just being stored. It was like ridiculous. Dr. Box, like, yeah, look in the mirror and see yourself naked. I kind of covered all the mirrors in my bathrooms because I was so nauseated by what I was seeing. But is that what you, you know, not at the same degree as I was having, but you just couldn't get those love handles away, right? I mean, you do side crunches and side bends and all this stuff, and they just won't go away. Are they there anymore? Did this completely knock it out?
Well, number one, I still do those side things that you're talking about, right?
Me too, buddy.
But more importantly, what Dr. Block told me at the onset of this was, take off as much weight as you feel comfortable taking off, and then I'll do my carving, my liposuction. And that's what I did. I took off like 15 pounds, and so I had like 5 or 6 or 7 pounds distributed in 2 or 3 spots around my mid-stomach and lower back. And Dr. Block went in and took that those fat cells out. Because once the fat cells were empty, he could take a lot more of them out without taking a lot of blood and fluid.
Interesting.
And so what he did is, I'm recalling this in 95, that he took 2 or 3 or 4 pounds of fat. But what he told me was that by me losing that fat beforehand, losing the liquid and the fat cells, it made it easier for him to take more fat cells out. And you know, we just can't take 20 pounds of fat cells out.
Right. So
I don't think so.
So, Dr. Block, you know, 1995, we've talked about the new procedures with the laser and the freezing and all the other stuff that you have out there right now.
Right.
I would assume that, you know, 95, it was the older procedure where you went in and you had the wand and you were banging away in there and taking it out. What type of, you know, walk us through the sculpting that you did in 95.
And lipo is, yeah, I mean, lipo I've been doing for close to 30 years, which is when it first came out. It's evolved. And originally, it was kind of crude. From there, we moved to what we called tumescent liposuction. You injected fluid in there. It constricted the blood vessels. And then you would go in and suck the fat out. From there, we moved on to ultrasonic-assisted lipo, which would break up the fat. Then we moved on to laser-assisted. And now we're starting something that's kind of fascinating. It's high-definition lipo. Because it's just as important as what you leave behind as what you're doing. And what we're trying to do now is somewhat etch and enhance the underlying muscle. So we want to remove the fat and then sometimes try to even inject a little bit of fat into the abdominal muscle so that you're kind of sculpting it and creating, you know, it's etched in there so it looks like you have a sculpted abdomen. You could do that on the arms now. You could do it on the chest. So things are always somewhat evolving. It's kind of fascinating and it's fun. And it, you know, and it's always a challenge. And it really becomes, from an artistic sense, it's just as important as what's left behind as what you're taking out. And we're literally trying now more and more to try to sculpt it and so that we could see a definition of those underlying muscles. And quite frankly, if you don't have those muscles, to try to create them.
So Joe, when you recovered from the liposuction and you put your clothes back on, or when you looked back in the mirror, how much of a change did you see and how much of a change did you feel?
Yeah, an amazing change. For the first time in my life at 54 years old, I didn't have what were described as tires on my side.
Yeah.
And I could actually turn and get a view in a front-facing mirror and not find those tires anywhere as far as I could see around my back. So it was, and you know, I learned what a pound of fat was by looking at a pound of hamburger, and I could, before I had the surgery done, after I had a consultation with Dr. Block, I could take a handful of fat and know that I had 2 pounds of fat in my hand. And when I was done, I had a hard time getting any more than what that Dr. Block described as skin back there. And that's the way it is today. As Dr. Block said, when you take the fat cells out of the area, they can't grow back there.
And what was the recovery time on the so did you have all three procedures done at the same time? You went in, had your chest, your hips, and your abdomen done all in the same procedure, or did you stagger them?
No, the whole thing, all at once.
And what was your recovery time on something like that?
It was some bruising. And Dr. Block warned me that I couldn't be exercising, so I laid off my exercising, and I had to sit around, and it was maybe, I'd say on the long side, 10 to 14 days with some mild bruising, but nothing the clothes wouldn't cover up.
So when you went back to working out and started lifting weights and doing aerobics or, you know, whatever you do, running or jogging or the elliptical machine, did you have any pain? Was there any, yep, you know, muscle loss or muscle memory loss, or yeah, it's just you just picked up the weights and started doing bench press and dump. It was no loss of like that, because a couple of guys came and said, "Well, I heard that if you have, you know," and these are Neanderthal meatheads like me that think they know everything, but they know nothing. And they're like, "Well, I talked to a guy who had it done in his chest, and he couldn't bench press anymore because it impacted his range of motion." You didn't have any experience like that.
Zero. It was just on the sit-ups, I couldn't do 100 anymore. I had to do 10, 20, 30 and work my way up to 100. And the same thing on the elliptical, and the same thing on the Cybex machines. It just had to work my way up slowly.
You see, and the good thing is when I start, I told Dr. Block I'm going to come in and I'm going to drop my pants and show him everything I got and have him sculpt me and tell me what needs to be done with my body to get it into, where you're at right now. And the good thing is I'm only at like 7 sit-ups, so I won't have to. It'll be a much faster recovery, Mr. 100 at a time. Look at this guy. Yeah,
Charles, honestly, he is. The guy is in great shape. I really admire the guy. He's great.
So, Joe, we got a couple minutes left here before we throw it to Doc for the last word. For other men, okay, and I want you to talk directly to the men listening today. And I also want you to talk to the women who are married or dating the men that might need a little bit of a tune-up, let's say, right? What would you tell them about the facelift and about getting the work done and not to be afraid of going under the knife?
I'd say first off, you have to first love yourself before you worry about other people loving you, right? And if you love yourself enough to do it, then you understand what you're doing going in. And then, and let me make a comment about, as I said, I really research this. I research everything I do before I do it. And what I found out about Dr. Block was that as excellent a plastic surgeon he is, he also communicates well, and these are my words, not his. He's a damn fine artist. So when he does something to you, when he moves my skin around on my face or my body, he does precisely that in the operating room. So what he says he's going to do, he delivers, and it works. So if you go to Dr. Block, you're going to the right guy. That's my view of it.
And for the women out there who have husbands that just don't want to go, what would you tell them about enticing their husbands to get off their lazy rear ends and going for a consultation?
I'm Irish, so whatever it takes.
Kick them. 2x4, I understand.
You got it. Right, David, a 2x4.
Well, listen, Doc, Joe, I really appreciate you joining the show. And, your experience, it speaks volumes for why men really need to take a look in the mirror and say, hey, I don't want to look this way anymore, and I can look better, and I should call Dr. Block at 847-432-0840. I really appreciate you joining the show, buddy.
My pleasure.
All right, stay young, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Block.
Stay young. All right, we're going to drop Joe, and now it's your dime and your dance floor, Dr. Block. You got the spotlight. Why don't you just recap what Joe just said and why men... I think Joe was great, right? I mean, he talked about everything what the women talked about, but it's nice to hear it from a man.
Joe is great, and Joe is also having an incredibly fun life. And I think it's a perfect example that if you look good and you feel good, I think the quality of your life is genuinely enhanced. And I see so many people who at a certain point in life, especially they get a little bit older, they get overweight, it seems to me that they're almost clinically depressed. Their attitude becomes, why bother? And they're vegetating. I don't know what they're waiting for, but it's like they're on the train and they're waiting to check out. I think there's nothing more positive that you could do for yourself that if something bothers you, to get your body in shape, whether it's exercising, dieting, or if need be, plastic surgery. So we only go around once, and if we can go around in the body that we want, I think the quality of our life is significantly enhanced. And I think that there is genuinely an improvement in our relationships with other people. I think that, too, is improved because we're more confident in who we are.
And the mental power and the confidence and just feeling good about yourself. You can't put a price tag on that, on how it makes you get through the day and be more competitive and not be embarrassed. And I could tell in Joe's voice, you know, just like I could tell in all the women's voice, all the women's patients that you had call in, they feel that they could go through a brick wall and compete on a day-to-day basis with somebody 30 years younger than them, with the same education, but they look a hell of a lot better. And I just don't know how I hope this show is getting through to the listeners how powerful that self-confidence is when you go out, not only into the marketplace, when you spend time with your friends and family. You want to comment on that?
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's, how we feel about ourselves translates into our personality and how we engage the world. And, as I said, we only go around once, and we should go around, as long as it's reasonable, we should go around in the body that we want. I also think, I don't think that people should jump into plastic surgery lightly. It is an operation. There are certain risks involved, and that's all part of a consultation. It has to be balanced. But for the most part, plastic surgery involves procedures that carry extremely, extremely low risk if done in the proper hands.
And to get a consultation, call 847, to schedule a consultation, I should say, 847-432-0840, 847-432-0840. Go to Dr. Block's website, Body by Block, BLOCH, bodybyblock.com. Send Dr. Block an email, bodybyblock, BLOCH, @WGNradio.com, or visit him at 1160 Park Avenue West in Highland Park and 1986 Tower Road in Glenview. Doc, we'll see you next Thursday, buddy.